We've been in a series on the patriarchs, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the foundation of the people of God. God first, of course, called Abraham and Sarah, his wife, and said, leave your country and your kindred, your father's house, go to the land that I will show you, and I will bless you. I will make of you a great people. You will have descendants like the stars of the, as many as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. And we've been the last several weeks, there was a bit of a detour that Abraham and Sarah took when they were childless, and the promise, God seemed to be too slow fulfilling that promise. And so they took matters into their own hands, and Sarah hatched an idea. Abraham, you'll have to father a son with a younger woman than me. And so Ishmael was born to Hagar, Sarah's slave girl. And that led to all kinds of complications. And God said, look, Abraham, I'm going to bless Ishmael. He's going to be the father of a great people too. But he's not going to be the child of promise. Because I promised you a son that Sarah would bear a son. Well, finally, after years of waiting and hoping and praying, Isaac is born. And we can just imagine the joy in that, the promise fulfilled. But then one day came a crisis. And that's where we pick up the story today in Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 14. Hear now the word of God. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son, Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. The word of the Lord. Now, before I pray, as I always do, before I preach, just a little word of warning about this text. This story, very, very familiar if you know your Old Testament, very easy to get wrong. Very easy to take this story and say, all right, the point of this story is that God will test us in life. And God will call us to the test, asking us to give up things that are precious to us. And if we pass the test, and if we are faithful and obey God no matter what, God will bless us. I almost preached that this morning. In fact, I was quite prepared to preach that this morning. And yesterday I was sitting in Presbytery meeting over in Kent, Washington. The Presbytery of the Pacific Northwest was meeting. And as I often do when I'm sitting in Presbytery on a Saturday morning, what's really going on in my head is tomorrow morning. And I'm a Reformed Christian, so you'll very, very rarely hear me say, "The Lord spoke to me." But this text just kept working on my mind and working on my heart. And God said to me, "Phil, you're not going to preach that mess. You're not going to lay that moralism on people." Because that's what that is. If you say that the point of this text is God will call you to extraordinary obedience, sacrificing your child, and if you obey, then God will bless you. Brothers and sisters, that's moralism, and that's not what God is about. That's not what this text is about. This is about something much deeper and much more wonderful than that. So before we enter into it, let's pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Abraham is being tested. The text says that. God tested Abraham. And here's the test. What does God want? What does God want from you? From me? God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering." Each of those phrases is like a knife in Abraham's heart. Take your son, the son that I gave you, the child of the promise. Take your son, your only son, Isaac. And yes, Abraham did have another son. He had Ishmael, but he's not the child of the promise. He's not Sarah's son. Take your son, your only son, Isaac. His name means laughter. Whom you love. Every phrase is like a knife in the heart. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice to me. I cannot, as a father, I cannot fathom the horror of that commandment. And if If a test of faith was needed, Abraham's already shown his faith, hasn't he? God said, leave when Abraham was, he was 75 years old. He's playing golf in Ur of the Chaldees when God said, leave your country and your kindred. Leave everything you know and everything that's familiar to you and go to the land that I will show you. But now, God, who had been his friend, it would seem God is betraying him in the cruelest way. Take the son I gave you, the one who is the only link you have to the promise I gave you, that I would make of you a great people. Take this child who is the embodiment of all of your hopes and dreams and sacrifice him, make him a sacrifice to me. Abraham has got to be asking himself, what does this God want? And Abraham didn't blink. He obeyed. Verse 3 says, Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and he rose and went to the place of which God had told him. We've no record of anything spoken between Abraham and Isaac until they get to within sight of the place. And once again, verses 4 and 5 say, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there and worship and come back to you. Abraham's heart has to be breaking. He's got to be asking himself, what does this God want? They reached the place where God was leading. Abraham had taken the wood for the burnt offering, put it on his son's back. Abraham has the fire and the knife. They go on, both of them together. That phrase is repeated twice, by the way. They went on, both of them together. Father and son walking side by side. Finally, Isaac speaks up, my father. Abraham says, here I am, son. Isaac says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Dad, this doesn't make any sense. Abraham answers, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Well, at last they reach the place. Abraham builds an altar of stones. He arranges the wood on top of it. He takes his son. We're not given any of the details of this, but he takes his son, binds him, places him on the wood. And just as the tension builds to this unbearable level and he's raising the knife, God intervenes. Abraham, Abraham. He says, yes, Lord, do not lay a hand on the boy, seeing as how you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham looked up. He saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And he sacrificed the ram. The ram was given as a substitute for his son. And God said, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And God reaffirmed his promise to make Abraham the father of a great nation. Now, I said there's something that this story is not about, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But first of all, almost a parenthesis, but an important one. This story is not saying that we should love God so much we would be willing to sacrifice our children as an offering to God. In fact, a close look at the ancient context shows us that there's the exact message is going on here. God will never, ever ask us to sacrifice our children as an offering to him. You see, that was actually common in the ancient world at the time of Abraham. Other societies around Abraham worshiped the god Molech, who called for child sacrifice, and they literally did sacrifice children to the god Molech. And remember that all of this is new. Knowing this God is new to Abraham. We've got the rest of biblical history to go on. Abraham had none of that. And I wonder if Abraham, as Abraham is trudging up Mount Moriah with his son, is he silently saying to himself, well, I should have known it would come to this. All the other gods around here want child sacrifice. I guess this one does too. But there's something wonderful that happens here. In one frightening and awesome moment, God changed everything. The transforming power of this story is not found in Abraham's faith. It's found when God intervenes and stays his hand. The powerful moment when God intervenes between Abraham and Isaac and stays his hand. And God, brothers and sisters, and as I said, this isn't the main point, this is a side point. We'll get to the main point in a minute. God always interposes himself between parent and child. We do not own our children. And every child, from the moment of conception, is a gift from Almighty God. God always interposes himself between parent and child, and that this has huge implications for the issue of abortion in our time. Children are not our possession. And God interposes himself always between parent and child. It's often argued that it only can be up to the mother to decide the fate of a little one growing within her. That can never be an adequate Christian ethic, because God interposes himself between parent and child. No parent has absolute authority over their child. And this is why all life is to be received as a gift. And whenever I bring this up in church, I always, of necessity, will say, and trust it, if you've experienced abortion in your life, either yourself or someone you love, know God loves you. God's forgiveness is for you. If God gave his son for you to cleanse away every sin and any stain of guilt. So what did God want from Abraham? What does God want from you and me? God doesn't want child sacrifice. Another thing we can rule out based on this text is conventional morality. God has no interest whatsoever in conventional morality, and this story proves it. Now, I don't mean by that that God wants immorality. That's also not what it means. We can rule out conventional morality because what God is asking Abraham to do in this story is immoral by any reasonable standard. You think about that? What God is asking Abraham to do is immoral by any reasonable standard. Now, yeah, the worshipers of Molech did this, but you know what? I think they knew it was evil too. And so do we. God is after something much deeper than conventional morality. In Galatians 2:16, God's word says, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. You know what that means? That means God's not interested in conventional morality. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. If you think that by being a good person you will please God and be right in his sight, the Bible tells you that's impossible. By the works of the law, no one. Zero. Not one. And God's not interested in conventional morality. And by that I mean what many people will do. And I almost, I was this close to doing it with this text. Be a really good person. Be really devoted to God. And obey God in everything, even laying down your most precious gifts. And God will bless you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that is the gospel according to hell. That is Satan's gospel. And it's nothing but a burden. As Abraham trudged up that mountain, his heart was breaking. What does this God want? David knew. King David knew. Abraham learned it. This is what King David said when he discovered what this God wants. David said it in Psalm 51, "You, O Lord, will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God loves us. And in love, God does not want from us mere morality. God wants our hearts, brothers and sisters. Isn't that amazing? The God who made the stars of the heavens, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who made you, wants your heart. And a proud heart resists God, shuts him out. And that's why the only way anybody ever surrendered to God is with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's what God wants. Not wooden obedience. And God in love had already provided the sacrifice that would take Isaac's place at that very moment when Abraham raised the knife with a broken heart. God had already provided a ram caught by its horns in a thicket and stopped Abraham and said, "No, I've provided a substitute." And of course, this was a foreshadowing. God was enacting for Abraham the way that his promise would ultimately be fulfilled. The Lord will provide. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Just as Isaac carried the wood on his back up Mount Moriah, Jesus carried his wooden cross up Calvary, where he was sacrificed for you and me. Can we even begin to imagine the love that bound together the Father and the Son from all eternity? Can we even begin to imagine that infinite bond of love between the Father and the Son, bound together in the Holy Spirit from all eternity? God sent His Son, His only Son, the one He loves, the Son of the promise, into the world to be our substitute, to take our place, to pay the penalty for our sin. And in giving His Son, God has given His heart. And He calls to us now, "Will you give your heart to me?" Brothers and sisters, God wants your heart. A moment ago you heard Dave read Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. Paul was quoting there, you can't tell it in the text, but Paul was quoting there directly from Genesis 22, where God says, because you have not withheld your son from me. Paul's quoting the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's called the Septuagint. Because God has not withheld his son from us, quoting directly from Genesis 22, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Brothers and sisters, God wants your heart. There's two ways you can go through life. And you're going to end up one way or the other if you're not there yet. You can go through life bitter, or you can go through life broken in a really good way. You can go through life bitter that life didn't turn out the way you wanted, that God took away, and God will take away, things that are precious to us, people that we love. You can go through life bitter that life didn't turn out the way that you wanted it, or broken, with a heart broken before God that says, God, I need you. God, you gave your son for me. And now I give you my broken heart. That, brothers and sisters, is where blessing begins. Amen. Let's pray. Mighty Father, you have given to us the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus. And in his name we come before you now. Father, you've given us your heart, and now we give you ours. Lord, you will lead us to the place, just as you did Abraham, you will lead us to the place where our heart breaks. And at that moment, we have a choice. We can be bitter or broken. Father, I pray for each one here. May we, with broken heart, cry out to you, and you in your great faithfulness, Lord, as you have provided your Son, you give yourself into our lives to lift us up and make us new and give us a new hope. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.